Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liverpool, another episode. This time, I feel like I need to say, and I need to say it loud, this is the reason why this podcast exists. This is what this platform is for, moments like today. I feel like you're going to cry with us today. I feel like you're going to feel all the feelings, particularly if you're a parent. We've got Carolyn with us and Julie. Carolyn's the mum of Ellis Cox. It's been over a year now since she lost her son in the hardest of circumstances. You're going to hear things maybe you've never heard before, even if you followed the case, and we need your help. So I'm appealing to you right from the get-go. This is a safe place where you can speak to us anonymously. If you have any information about what you're about to hear, maybe it's been sitting on your shoulders for a long time and you need to move on with your life, we want to hear from you. I stress the word anonymously. We'll support you with this, and we want the same outcome as Carolyn today. We need to put this to bed and find out who killed Ellis Cox. So 1 year it's been for you, Carolyn, yes, without your boy. And I want you to start this podcast by telling us in your own words exactly who Ellis was.
Ellis was amazing. Listen, you're talking about, let's start off by saying that he never told him off because he was always that good. Yeah. He was never one to get into any bother, so he never got grounded, he never got told off or his phone taken off him or anything like that, did he? Because he was good as gold. He worked hard, didn't he? And just loved being with his family and loved being with his cousins.
Yeah.
His nieces and his big brother, who he absolutely adored. And you think he was the older one, though, wouldn't you, Keg? Because of his maturity.
So mature.
He had such a mature head on his shoulders.
And this isn't what you typically hear about a teenage boy with stories like this. This is why this story, I feel like everybody is still talking about it. Everybody wants the same ending with this for him and for you, Carolyn. Yeah. So this good boy, he was always doing well. He was just, you were proud of your Ellis. And you can see that just every time you watch a clip of you talking about him or his family. Yeah. How did this happen?
So we've always said Ellis, basically, he had one best friend. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't in work, he was in the house. Mm-hmm. He really left the house. He was always with his family.
Yeah.
His cousins, his brother, his uncles. He worked with his uncles. He worked with his brother. So he was always with his family, whether we were having barbecues, family meals. He was just always with us.
Yeah.
And then if he'd go out, he would only go to his friends to watch football. And because we didn't have the channel at home, so we'd go to his friends. But even when he was walking home from his friends, which was 10 minutes up the road, he'd always ring me. And then I'd stand on the step waiting for him because I'd worry because he was so tall.
Yeah.
He was 6'6". Yeah. So I worried that people would think he was older, but he was a baby. So then I'd stand on the step whilst he was on the phone to me. And then he'd say, "Oh, Mum, get in. You've got your pyjamas on." I'm at the top of the street and I'd literally stay on the phone to him because... He's a baby, but he looked older. So he literally had him wrapped in cotton wool.
Yeah.
But then he literally, on the day, it was sunny.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that these friends were going on a bike ride. So I said, "Is it his best friends?" But he said, "No, it's people he knew from school."
Okay.
So I said, I was like, I always used to be silly with them, and I used to say, what is mum saying? What is dad saying? What did they do for a living? Where did they live? What's the postcode?
This is resonating with me so much, and I just feel like people listening now, mums of sons, are sitting there with the heart in the throat thinking, this sounds like my boy. This could be my lad.
Yeah.
Not in a gang, not what you see on TV or on the news or you expect to hear about a young man being shot. This is a lad who went out, and you know when you say about him, he was with boys from school who you don't know. My lad's 15 and they'll go into town to go to Biden's Big or whatever they're doing.
You don't
and I'll be like, who was there? And there'll be names. I go, I don't know that name. Yeah. Oh, that's such a one's mate from another school. Yeah. And you do worry because you don't know them and you want to vet them all individually. But there comes a time in a mum's life where you can't go around knocking on doors and go, let me meet them mum or let's join the WhatsApp group so the mums get to know each other. Exactly. And this is our worst nightmare. So he's out with these boys you don't really know, but he knows them from school.
But he'd met them because they were already halfway going to the Southport bike ride, so I didn't see them.
Yeah.
But he said he knew them from school. And as you say, he's 19. He's like, mum, you know, you're questioning everything.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You can't do anything there. You just got to trust they're all right, lads.
Exactly. So literally all we ever thought of was the worst thing, what would happen, he'd either fall off and break another bone, fall off the bike. And I spoke to him too much during the day because then he said to me, mum, no one else's mum rings him as much as you ring me, because I'd just be constantly ringing him.
Yeah.
See where he was. Yeah, I'm here. So I spoke to him loads of times throughout the day. It's a few various stages of this bike, come on, bike ride, come on back.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm here now, I'm there now. We've had food. Yeah, have you had something to eat? Yeah, we've had McDonald's. And then literally that's just how the day went. Just speaking to him. And then it got to us. I can't remember the time. I know it wasn't late, but it was late for me because I like him at home. So I'd made his pack lunch, his uniform was ready. So I'd say, you know, start heading home because it was getting dark sort of thing.
Yeah.
And which he did, I think he said he was maybe McGull. He wasn't too far, but he was on his way back. But for the many, many years we've lived in that street, Ellis had never, ever go up the loop line when it was dark, no matter, because you can't see your hand in front of you.
Yeah.
But he can't, as he was coming through, he can't say as a 19-year-old, my mum won't let me come through here. And God, I have to go the long way round.
Yeah.
You know, he's not got it's uncool, but he'd never. The only time we'd go through that loop line was going to school, which I'd follow behind because he took that long to get to school.
Yeah.
So he would only go through the loop line of a day and he never ever come.
Yeah.
But as I say, he's obviously cut through there because he can't say to a bunch of.
And you think of yourself at that age, how many things you did
around.
Where you go, oh, my mum knew this or whatever, but you just haven't got that in you to say, my mum said, so you just do it because it's
and
easier.
It was quicker.
Yeah.
It would have got him home in less than 5 minutes.
And he's with people. It's not like he's on his own.
Yeah. And they were just plodding along.
Yeah.
You know, as they do, talking or whatever. And then he was there, I spoke to him and I said, come on, I've got to be off for work. And he said he was right by ours. I think that can be heard on by the cut through where he was by Tusker's. That leads right to the loop line, which is 5 minutes from my house. So
2 minutes on a bike, isn't it?
Two minutes on a bike. So that's
he's that close.
That's where he was cutting through and he did say he was right by ours and he'd be 5 minutes.
Yeah. And so this is on messages, is it?
No phone.
Aren't you actually talking to him? So that's the last time you spoke to him?
Yeah, he said, I was right by yours and it'll be 5 minutes and I started to warm his tea.
So as a mum, you breathe. He's going to be home, carry on with the rest of the night.
Yeah.
You're ready to turn the lights off, lock the door.
Exactly.
And start your waking week the next day.
Yeah. He knows I wouldn't ever go to bed until he was home.
No. And so is the next call from the police?
The next call was, I just thought, oh, he must be still talking. Because if he was going to be late, he'd ring me. Wasn't like him. And I just thought, he's with this other group. They must just be still talking away.
Yeah.
And it won't be long. And it was my brother phoned me because one of the boys he was with had phoned Ellis's best friend. Ellis's best friend phoned my brother, and my brother phoned me and said, is Ellis home? And I went, no. I said, I'm waiting for him. He's been ages. He must have got talking. His tea's gone back cold, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, he's probably gabbing.
Yeah.
And then my brother said, no, his friend just phoned me. Ellis is in hospital. And I thought, he fell off the bike.
Yeah.
Another broken bone, as he's done a billion times.
Yeah.
But I thought, he just fell off the bike. And then my brother came to get me, and we went to the hospital. And I remember he didn't park in a bay, and I went, oh, you don't want to leave her here.
Yeah, because in your head you're still thinking,
why are you rushing? So it's just
break his leg or something.
Yeah. And then the lady, it was like on the front desks, we said, sorry, the only information we've got that Ellis is here.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know anything. And then the lady said, okay, I'll go and see if I can find him and put us in this room. But it felt like I was someone who's in this room, and then my brother was getting frustrated going, why can't you find him? I don't understand. And then my brother got up and was like, "Like, surely he's got to be somewhere. Let's just..." So he started trying to go and find him himself, because he's getting a bit worked up. And then Ellis's friend came with his mum, and then our Julie came, and I just kept seeing like people coming in the door, and I was thinking, why have you all cleaning up? He's just...
Did you know about the shoot at this point, Julie?
No, to be honest, all I can remember is it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I turn my phone off because I can't sleep it on. It just gives me anxiety. So my husband leaves his on, and I remember him waking me up and saying, Ellis is in hospital. And then, oh, because I heard him talking to someone. I said, are you talking to her? Mm. And he was going, yeah. And then I went, like, are you talking to Ogaga? Is that Ogaga on the phone? So I'm thinking something's happened to her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who's that? Give me the phone. So I was obviously half asleep. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. And then you were on the phone.
Yeah, because I didn't want to wake anybody up because we were still waiting around ourselves. So I thought, it's not worth worrying everybody, because I generally thought he just fell off his bike.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I think my brother was on the phone to people. But then as I seen people come in, I thought, why is everybody getting out of bed?
Yeah.
Because he just fell off his bike. That was what I thought. And obviously, because we were still waiting, and it felt like an eternity.
I don't even know what time you were there for. And I think that I don't remember getting to the hospital.
So who broke the news to you? At what point did you realise?
I remember that.
I think
it was in the little room.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember, I think it was me, Julie, Kev, my brother. And then we were sitting there, and then I think, another nurse came in and went, sorry, have you got a recent photo of him? Because he's came in on his own, we don't want to get it wrong, maybe. Yeah. We don't want to get it wrong and say, Ellis is here, and then it might not be Ellis. But I had a recent photo, because about 3 weeks before he just had his hair cut. He'd had long hair for about 7 years. And because it was...
Is this the picture you're waiting on your chest now?
And he's next to our Harrison on the step. But because
you look alike. He looks like Harrison's his cousin.
Yeah.
You do, you look alike. Yeah. So smart, so gorgeous. And that was
because it was such a famous day, because we'd been telling him for years to get his hair.
It was stunning, wasn't it?
And as he knocked on the door, I was like, wow. And I took the photo.
Yeah.
So I showed the lady the photo on my phone, and then she disappeared again, and it felt like a lifetime. I can't remember how long she'd gone. But then more people kept coming in, and I was just a bit confused, to be fair.
At this point, are you starting to think there's much more to this than what...
It's taking that long. He can tell you his name.
Oh, that feeling of dread for any mum. You just want to get your hands on your kid, don't you? Then
I just want to open
doors. Get me to him, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think we were just trying to... I don't know how long. You just want to start opening doors.
Yeah.
And, like, get me out of this tiny little room.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my God. Just like, let's just go and find him ourself. So my brother's like, I can find him myself, because this is taking too long. And I know now that they had the job to do, so they didn't want to tell us.
But as a mum, that's not what's going through your head. You're starting to think,
why is it?
I don't know, so something here, and this is my baby, and I need to just get hold of him, make sure he's okay.
After all that time as well, because you must have been there for a couple of hours at least, and I think, you know, I'd only just got there, and well, it felt like I'd only just got there, but then... I don't know how long we were in that room for before they came in. It felt... I don't even know how long it was. It was all kind of manic, and then his dad had turned up, and his mum and dad, and then just people were just turning up, weren't they? And then I was sat with you.
They must have all been told to all go to the same room. So I was thinking, how did they know to put them into this room?
Yeah.
Silly question.
Yeah.
Because this room was hidden.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, how have they found the way? Because it was like through a door you couldn't walk through.
I can't.
But they were all being pointed in the same direction.
Can imagine you're hoping at some point someone's going to tell you it's not as bad as you think. It's, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that, and I remember saying that to her, and I remember you looking at me because she ran.
Yeah.
You know, like they told her.
So who came in and told you?
Yeah.
Was it the police?
It was a policeman sat next to us, and then he looked at the nurse and he looked at someone and went, "Now," and they went, "Yeah," and then he said, "I'm sorry to tell you, Ellis has passed away." And we were just like, that it just, I don't even know, but she just ran and down the corridor, out the room, down the corridor, and I ran after her, and she was on the floor, and her partner ran after her, and he was hugging her, and I remember saying to her, "They've made a mistake," and I remember her looking at me as if to say, "Have they?" And then I thought, "Oh God, what have I?" Because
human nature to go, "This can't be true. Someone tell me it's not true. It's a mistake."
God, what have I just, even in that moment, and then I can't even, again, after that, I don't even know how long we were there for. And then I remember being outside and people turning up. And my brother, one of my younger brothers, he told me that I'd told him and his wife. I can't even remember telling them.
No.
I can't even remember saying those words. And they said, "Yeah, you come out and told us." And I was like, "Did I? I can't even remember." This was after, obviously, a long time after.
Yeah.
And I said, "I can't even remember telling you that because you just..." And then the nurse, I went to the nurse and said, "Can you give us something?" And they gave you something, didn't they? They gave you, was it diazepam or something? They gave you something, didn't they? And then it just felt like you just don't know what to do then. Where'd you go? You don't want to leave. Yeah.
Did you get to see him? No,
my husband went and I identified him. So I think, and again, I didn't even know that had happened.
No.
It couldn't be.
Didn't think that was going on.
Your attention's been on your sister.
Yeah. They asked my brother, as our youngest brother's, you know, his best friend, you know, and I think they asked him and he said no.
Yeah.
And then they asked Kev, my husband's, and he went and did it, yeah. And
but that's where they wanted the photo. Now when you think question stuff.
Yeah.
The first lady wanted the photo, then they disappeared for ages, maybe, because they didn't want to say it was Ellis, because they said, what was he wearing?
Yeah.
Did he, what phone did he have to...
Yeah, trying to piece it together to make sure. Because this is...
You don't want to tell somebody that it's...
anymore.
Yeah.
Could you see even...
So I knew what...
They can't get it wrong, but at the same time, it left you hanging and waiting there and going through everything that you were going through.
Yeah.
And so I imagine that's when the police come in and start to paint a picture of what's actually happened that night. Because knowing what you've said about your son, those circumstances don't line up with your boy.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that at that point you're thinking, still, how can this happen to my son?
Yeah, I think we were just... We had a billion questions, but I remember there was two uniformed officers first, and I remember saying to them, "He'll have this lanyard on," because he never went anywhere without his key.
Yeah.
And I said, "If it's Ellis, we'll have a key round his neck."
Yeah.
But then they didn't see them again, and then it was two detectives, and I remember, I don't know why I remember that, he had a folder, and then obviously... They do this a lot, so they've just got to say it. And I would think we were like, "Just let us go." And I remember him just closing the folder and saying it. And then I don't remember nothing after that.
No.
And we didn't want to leave because you get told that and then you just have to go home.
Yeah.
So the next days that follow, you're in your house without your son. You know what happened to him on this night that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
This isn't, and I keep stressing this, a boy who's been in trouble or has been knocking about with the wrong crowd. Or as a mum, you could maybe look back on and go, "There were signs, I just didn't see it." Yeah. There's none of this. This is a lad who crossed paths with some other boys that we assume were the targets of that shooting. Yeah. Tell me more about that. Yeah.
And I've still never seen these people.
Mm. So you never met them before? You've never met them afterwards?
They've never knocked at my door.
We know that it took at least 2 weeks, was it, before they were identified. So none of them came forward. So
nobody came forward. It was just...
The four boys who were there.
Someone reported the shooting and they found Ellis.
So one of the boys was who was there. He apparently, they all ran, dropped the bikes and ran. Ellis had stayed on the bike. It was, I gave him the bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, he asked me and my husband's going, I'm not going in that garage. And I was like, no, you will. You know, I would never say no to any of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, as an auntie, and I'm like, no, you will. You're going to get in that garage and you're going to get in that bike.
Yeah. He's
going up with his mates. And I was going, oh, it's half 4, it's late, babe. And he was like,
you said you're really, I'm 19.
I know.
It's half 4.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then, so as I say, he come back to ours and we gave him the bike and he was going to meet these friends.
Mm-hmm.
And one, what we do know is one of the four of them, I think there was seven in total, a couple dispersed off home. And then obviously the other four headed towards the Loop Line. And one of them, obviously when it happened, they all dropped the bikes and ran. One of them, Ellis didn't. Ellis stayed on the bike. And I always think he's probably thought, not like
because he's never been in a situation,
you know, what to, you know, when he probably thought he's faster, you know, on a bike.
Yeah.
But what we do know is one of them went back and called an ambulance and stayed and called an ambulance. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as the ambulance arrived, they left. So, but this again is.
But you don't know who that is.
We obviously.
Do you know a name of that person?
We know now.
Yeah. So you know these people now, but they've never been to see you, and you didn't know them beforehand, and. According to what they say, they've got no idea why someone shot Ellis that night.
Yeah, they don't know anything.
Don't know anything.
But they call themselves Ellis's friend.
Okay. So tell me what the police interpret this as.
Either they're scared or, you know, they obviously, well, you know, if they've not seen who it is because of the lack of CCTV.
Mm-hmm.
And the dark and the light and...
They, how these kids find out, but they know, don't they? They find this information out. There will have been conversations immediately. And, you know, we know the next day, and I remember a kid around the corner saying, oh, yeah, my mate was there. This has happened. This, blah, blah, blah. And we were like,
before we did before anything.
And we were like, oh, right.
Okay.
Where's that come from? Yeah. So they're talking, they've seen, or they've heard, they may have. Sort of figure.
A circle had been probably speaking.
Yeah. And the guessing. If they don't know for sure, there's guessing of people who might have wanted to do it or reasons behind it. And names will be thrown about.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But none of these names have made it back to you yet.
No.
And it's been a year.
Yeah.
And the fact is, someone did it.
Yeah.
People talk.
Exactly.
And names, if not one name in particular, names are being thrown about, just not making it to you or the police.
Yeah. And the people who'd done it and the people who it was aimed for, everybody knows that it wasn't for Ellis.
Of course, yeah. So
how do you know it wasn't for Ellis in that way, but then you don't know who it was for or who it was?
Yeah.
They will know.
And they know who they want us, but they,
when
they got up the next day and seen the news... They seen that they'd got the wrong person, so they obviously don't care and haven't got a conscience because it wasn't Ellis wasn't in that world.
No, which explains why he just stopped dead. He wasn't expecting it.
No.
He wasn't from
exactly
that world, that culture.
They knew to jump off the bikes. Ellis stayed on, which I think is because wherever they was hiding, because Ellis was so tall, was he even taller on a bike?
Yeah. He's been the easiest target because he's been the tallest and he stayed still.
Yeah.
So was it someone on foot? Is that what we know? Was it someone on foot hiding somewhere? Or was it in a car or...?
We know they were on sarongs, so they were on bikes.
Oh, okay.
So we know that.
At least three of them on sarongs.
Yeah.
Which is silent. And it's hard to explain, but if you were ever to go down that, the Loop Line just runs straight across and then Taskers.
Mm-hmm.
So Ellis is coming from Long Lane, coming towards the Loop Line. So they're coming from Long Lane by the cemetery.
Yeah.
And then they're coming down and then there's the Loop Line. So as they got towards the Loop Line, which you can't see
anything,
there's no light, there's no CCTV, these people coincidentally knew that they were going to be there at that time.
That did cross my mind then. Yeah. When you were talking through it, I was thinking, how did they know? Yeah. Whoever they were aiming for, the police believe this is a targeted attack. Someone was waiting there and they were prepared to do what they were going to do. How did they know?
At that exact moment, which that's what we keep saying. And like we always say, I've said it on all our interviews. When we go out, we get our keys, our phone, they get the gun, the bike. And then, so did they just go out with the gun?
Yeah. I think as well, you know, that loop line is used as a rat run for criminality.
Oh, okay.
So that loop line, it runs, I think it's 11 miles long. And
so it's a bit of a stomping ground.
Yeah, it's 26
hectares. It's constant. I can see it from my window.
Yeah. Right.
And we know this because we've been doing some work with the charity that own the loop line to try and make it safer.
Yeah.
And I think there's no CCTV. There's, like Cag said, you can't see in front of you. It's that dark. They're using that. And in the past, I think it was 2022, they found a load of ammunition and guns, knives, everything stashed on the loop line. So they know, these people on those are on, they know that loop line well. Yeah. They know where they can come on or come off it without being seen.
Yeah.
And we also know that there was, some CCTV that was destroyed days before.
Yeah.
If not the day before this happened. So you're right, it's been... It's planned, but did they plan to kill the person they were aiming for or frighten them or what? And again, are they
pull a trigger on the gun, you're planning to kill someone, aren't you? Because that's highly possible. So you
and not a professionally trained person.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Are we thinking this is kids?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Were the other boys with them the same age as Ellis?
There was a couple of younger.
I think there was... mostly the same age as from school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think there was...
There was 19 and younger.
There was I think the boy who went back with and stayed with him, he was the youngest.
Yeah.
And he was...
15, 16.
Yeah. So we're talking about young men, if not kids, involved in something that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
And Ellis has been caught up in it just by making a decision one day to be with people he wouldn't usually be with. Yeah.
Exactly.
He said, when he was talking about them, he was like, when I was saying, who are they? What's the mum's name?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, Mum, you know them all from school? And I said, but love, look how tall yous all go. Yeah. I wouldn't know them now. They've all got
beards.
Massive tall. And he was like, well, I was in infants with this one. I was in juniors with this one. I went through all seniors with this one. I said, oh, love, I wouldn't know. Because they all grow up so quickly.
Yeah.
So even if they were there, I probably wouldn't have remembered them.
So relatable, Carolyn. And I have these conversations all the time. So the sun's out, my lad's down on the beach. Guess who I bumped in today too? And he's naming all the names and it's kids he went to primary school with he hasn't seen for ages. Yeah. Exactly what you've just said. I'm saying to him, how do you even recognise them? Oh, because we all look the same. And I'm thinking, you don't look the same as primary school. No. So these kids mustn't, but they cross paths.
Yeah.
This is the story that we're all living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my friends who are listening to this and people who, you know, parents who've gone through school with my kids and, this big community of people who listen to this podcast. And I know the demographics of it. It's not just women. It is men. It's dads. It's uncles. Listening right now could be, barmaids, people who work in cafes who've overheard conversations. And they know what was said.
Yeah.
And again, human nature. It's not my business, not my sink, not my dishes. What trouble could this bring to my door? Yeah. It's best to stay away from it. I understand that.
Yeah.
But you've come up with something now where people can anonymously give you information. Talk to me about these QR code skills.
Yeah. So there's lots of posters and banners around the city. We do, I think we've done a 30,000 leaflet drop.
Yeah.
And we're doing another one in August, and we're also doing some work with the local charities talking about communities and kind of reaching out to kids who go out and they're on the streets talking to these kids who work with them and stuff. So they have all our posters and everything and local businesses and the barcode. It's something that we spoke to the school about and the charities, these young kids, about please don't be scared to just, kids won't call numbers now, but they'll scan a barcode on the phone. So it was our cousin who got the barcodes, actually, and she said, kids will hopefully just scan that. It is completely anonymous.
Yeah.
It's, we're through Crime Stoppers. so they won't ask for anything from you, you know, other than the information. And the information that comes in, and, you know, it's, we always say it's irrelevant until the police say it isn't. Yeah. It's relevant until the police say it isn't.
Yeah.
Just whatever you've heard, big or anything small.
Even if you think someone's told us before, just, oh, they might, they must have already know this. Yeah. Yeah. Just tell us again.
Yeah.
We always say, let the police decide.
Because their vision might be slightly different to what you've already heard, but it's got that key bit of information that ties something else together.
It's anything, you know, and they make big nuggets, don't they? And I think that's what, even from the very beginning, after a couple of days of being, you know, in I think I was in the Aldi or the Lidl, and that woman coming up to me, talking to me, saying, oh, I've heard about Ellis. And the things she knew, and I thought, so early on, people talk.
Yeah.
People know things and will know things that we don't even know. Yeah. We're obviously doing what we're doing, and we will carry on doing it until we find who took Ellis from us.
And some of it could be gossip, and it could be, but let the police decide what's gossip and what's not.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I worry, you know, because Ellis had his hair cut. These are things that you know, when you overthink. Ellis always had long hair. It got shorter and shorter, and it was about up to here. And then, obviously, he didn't tell us he went to get this haircut. And then I think all the years we said, oh, get your haircut. Now I think if he didn't have his haircut, would he have known that it was Ellis?
Yeah.
Because when this was released, this photo, even at school, some of the teachers seeing the story and didn't know that was Ellis.
Mm.
And then it took, I think it was one of our friends or one of the dinner ladies was talking about it.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't remember Ellis. And so the lady got an older photo up from the class.
She said, that's it.
There, because he'd lost loads of weight.
Yeah.
And got his hair cut. So people who've known Ellis since he was a baby, they had to look twice at that photo, because even, as I say, his teachers would say, that's not Ellis, because he'd changed.
Yeah.
In the mattress.
He has a girlfriend, didn't he? And, you know, and then they did split, hadn't they? And he lost a bit of weight, and she was like, oh, I was like, oh, Ellis has lost a bit of weight, hasn't he? And she
all these phases our boys go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're all little, the little corners that they turn. And you just, as a mum, you just want to be there for every moment of it to make sure
you want to protect
they're all right.
Yes. I was, because you know every movement.
Yeah.
Even when he was upstairs. And I was noticing he was flushing the toilet too much. Even I noticed that.
Yeah.
And that's because he was being sick and he was not eating his tea.
Yeah.
But I put that down to his teenage first love.
Yeah, his heartbreak.
And I even noticed when he was doing stuff like that. So he did go slimmer and he got his hair cut. And then I think, would he have known that was Ellis if he didn't have his hair cut and not got him?
I can't imagine what it's like for you living with all of these, just throughout this short podcast, this tiny insight into what's going on. What if I hadn't given him the bike? He was keeping hold of the bike. What if he hadn't changed
his haircut?
You know, what if I hadn't have said, come on, hurry up and get home? All of these things to live with, which is natural for you to do, because we do this every day of our lives, don't we? We question ourselves and we cover ourselves in guilt for everything. You're guilty if you do, you're guilty if you don't. Yes. You've done what any mum, any auntie would have done. My niece knocks and wants to borrow. Yeah. You've done everything we all would have done, but you're living in this nightmare that we can't even imagine. Now, I want you to speak directly, if you can, in your words, both of you, as mum and as auntie, to anyone listening right now who might know directly something, who might know somebody who's mentioned they might know something, you know, someone who might. This is going to go, this podcast, and be a conversation starter all over the Northwest. Mm. What do you want to say? What words do you want to ring in people's ears? Why is it so important that they come forward today?
I would say to the mums, imagine being in my shoes. Mm. Imagine I haven't seen my baby for 12 months. Imagine Ellis was my baby. My house is quiet. I miss him. I miss the smell. I miss his hugs. So, if anybody, please, imagine somebody taking your baby. And I didn't get to say goodbye to them. I didn't get to help him. He was only 5 minutes off the road. Why didn't I know? I could have. I literally could have run to hold. As a mum, why didn't I know? My baby, he needed me. And he wasn't there. So please, anything. Whether you think it's silly, just help us.
Yeah, you need closure. You need to know that somebody is answering to this.
Yeah.
They've taken everything from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never get it back. You never will. Mm-hmm. But you need to know who did it, why they did it.
Yeah.
And you need answers and you need them.
People need to dig deep.
And yeah.
Need to hear and see what we're going through with this. Our lives have changed forever. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that will pass. It's how we treat our children, how we look, where we let, we don't let our kids move.
Yeah.
We're so overprotective anyway before, like, just like Hag, but we're even more so now, you know, his older brother, as cousins, as uncles, as little nieces who he's not going to get to watch grow up. Everyone, the hole that he's left, it will absolutely never, ever be filled. And I think we're all taken day to day, but it's Groundhog Day. We're living day to day because we have to get who took him from us. That's it.
That's what
gets her up every day and gets us all, you know, keep going to, but it keeps you going, doesn't it? Because we need to get
the campaign and what our duly organised, everything, why we're here today.
Yeah.
That's the reason for me to get up, because
we
have to, why do they get to still walk around? Why are they still enjoying their life? Why are they getting to see their mum?
And you're still his mum.
Yeah.
So you're going to be his mum till you take your last breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never stop being his mum. So getting up every morning and doing this for him is all you've got left.
Yeah.
And I get that. Yeah. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I just want to stress again is that you can do this anonymously.
Yeah.
You don't have to carry any of what you're carrying right now any longer. And you can have as little or as much involvement in bringing peace to this family's life as you want. The QR codes are something new. I've never heard of that before. And that is a way that you can give information, let the police do the rest. No one comes to you.
No.
Nobody's going to question you personally. If you've got any information whatsoever, please, this is what we're here for today. Please, let's try and find who did this. Let the police do whatever they've got to do and just let you two try and find some peace.
Yeah. We just don't want it to happen to anyone else as well. It's like,
this could be any of our kids. And that's the bit that I want people to walk away from this podcast thinking.
If it can happen to
us. Yes.
You're thinking that's going to happen to us.
You know, you see the stories, stuff you read about the papers, it happens to someone else.
Yeah.
Never in a million years would you ever imagine that's going to happen to you.
And not to Ellis.
And that we know obviously the pain of what we're going through and what we've been through for last year. Wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy, but it will happen. These kids on the streets, finding these guns, where they're coming from, you know. And
we know the names, Rhys Jones, Ellis Cox.
Exactly.
Who's supplying the guns?
Yeah.
Where are they being kept?
Yeah.
Do you know? They're someone
just,
might know,
to blame.
Is it in your loft? Do you know that your son's hiding something?
Yeah.
Do you know that your brother's hiding something?
Are you not asking questions in your own home because you're scared to know the answers?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
And I feel that for parents. Yeah. I feel you want it no matter what your child's up to or what they do. You want to protect them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course you do.
But where are we drawing the line here?
And what if they do that and then it happens again?
Yeah.
There's guilt on them because they didn't say.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the good children. I brought my kids up. I've had both of mine wrapped in cotton wool. I'd never let them leave the streets. I was like that with both of them. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Other parents aren't doing the same. Mm-hmm. So you can do as much as you want.
Yeah.
And bring our kids up the right way.
Yeah.
And there's still...
Yeah, people out there who do have.
You can get caught same. Up and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. I'm honoured to have you here.
Thank you.
Speaking on this podcast. And I'm going to hope and pray that the right person is listening.
Yeah.
Or the right person who can speak to another person, who speaks to another person and get this message out, knows they can do it anonymously.
Yeah.
And let's pray for some good news here, some peace for the family.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.